1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that would be destroyed is death. I mentioned a little bit earlier in the service about when we were getting ready to decorate the cross, about new life. And as I've been watching new life come to all the plants and things, it's been a continual reminder that Jesus is alive, that he was dead and he received new life, and he was alive again. And it's a mind-boggling thing. I know probably a fair number of us have at one time or another, whether at a funeral or other places, we have had the experience of being with someone who is dead. And they're very dead. There's nobody there. The body becomes an empty shell. And that's what Jesus was, until he received new life, when he rose and he was alive again, and he walked and talked to people, and he ate food, and he was going around and doing all of these things. And it just amazes me that Jesus is alive. And so as we think about this resurrection, we think about that new life and what that means for us. I was thinking of three different new lives that are talked about. Now, the first one is, of course, the new life that Christ has. That's central to our faith. Everything that we believe is centered around that idea of the resurrection. That is the heart of Christianity, that Jesus is alive, that his death on the cross wasn't the end, that he had power over that death, and that in rising again, he demonstrates that he has the ability to conquer death. That's why we go here in this long convoluted argument that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians and take time sometime to sit down and read through that and think about which places he's saying what to whom, because it's real easy to get lost in his words sometimes. But you get down to the end of that, and he says in verse 26, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Christ will put an end to death. In his new life, we have the proof that he's able to do that. That death does not have dominion. Death cannot win. He's already demonstrated that death is not forever. Like Paul alludes to in here, He says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. If Jesus didn't have that power to overcome death, that he didn't have that ability to be restored to life, what does his sacrifice on the cross really mean? How do we have any hope? It's in the resurrection we have hope. We have that promise. We know that he has new life. And because he has a new life, he extends that to us. When Friday night at the Good Friday service, and Barb had her solo, and in the middle of that, she read from John 3:16, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes on Jesus Christ would not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Now there's a second new life that I thought about in this, and incidentally, we're going to probably run around to a few different places here in Scripture this morning. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul again writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now see, this second new life that we have here is a new life that's in us because of what Jesus Christ did. And I call this is a spiritual new life. This is what we experience as believers in Jesus Christ in this world, is that we are a new creation, that we have a new standing and a new position with Jesus Christ. Now, our physical status doesn't change. We believe in Jesus Christ, and you know, no, suddenly you don't glow in the dark or whatever. But we are not the same. We are a new creation. Spiritually, we have been transformed. There is a spiritual new life that comes about with faith in Jesus Christ that transforms us, that makes us into something new. And the resurrection of Christ that brings him new life, that shows us the power of God to be able to forgive, to raise, to overcome death. When we believe and his Spirit enters into us and we have the indwelling Holy Spirit to give us a new status, a new strength. In Romans, Paul writes in chapter 8 verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. Now he touches on two things in that, because he says to give new life to your mortal bodies. It's a life, he's pointing toward eternal life that we have, the resurrected body, but he's also talking about a new life that we have in this body that we live in, that we have a different status and quality of life, that spiritually we are not the same when we are in Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in him for salvation and we experience that transformation, we no longer have the same desires. We no longer have the same nature. We have new things that come in, and the Holy Spirit leads us and directs us into these new paths. Now, admittedly, we struggle sometimes because we don't like to change. Satan doesn't want us to change. He doesn't want us to follow that Spirit. But he is there. The Spirit is there. He is working in us, and he is shaping us and changing us. We are new. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And because we are that new creation in Christ Jesus, we look to the cross, we look to the resurrection, and we see the power of God made plain, and we see that this is something that is so incredibly wonderful. The promise, the hope that He gives, it's something that we shouldn't keep to ourselves. It's something that we should be sharing. You know, someone described it as, you know, if you had the absolutely perfect guaranteed cure for cancer, you know, would you keep it to yourself or would you proclaim it to everybody you knew? You know, we have a cure for sin. We have a cure for death. And in this new spiritual life that we have, we should be driven to proclaim it, to share it, to let people know that God gives us an answer to that eternal question of what happens to us after we die. What is this life all there is? What's the meaning of it all? He shows us that there is something more, that He is an answer to all of those questions. And that brings us to our third new life. And that third new life that we have is the eternal life. And mind you, I could get involved in an awful lot of little sidetracks on this, but I'm going to choose not to. We got a new clock at the back of the church, okay? I'm not sure about it. The light reflects off of it, so I have no idea what time it is. That may be a problem in the long run. I look at the clock. I can't see anything but the light reflecting off it. So, the thing is, we have this promise of an eternal life. And it's a life that is a new life, both for our ongoing spirit, that we will eternally be with God in spirit. And it is a new life in a resurrected body, that we will be raised up and that we will be completely new. One of the things that crosses my computer screen, that, you know, with the different social media and things, one of these things that showed up here a while back was a thing that you know, everybody dies twice. You die once when your body dies, and then you die finally the last time that somebody says your name. And it's a rather profound thought. Unless you believe in Jesus Christ. Because if you believe in Jesus Christ, that makes no sense at all, because Jesus Christ will never, ever, ever forget your name. We will never, ever experience that second death that the world dreads, when you will be forgotten and nobody will think of you again. Because Jesus is going to always remember every single one of us who believes in Him. We have eternal life with Him. He promises that. And that promise that He makes to us, that we have that everlasting life. He says, you know, I'm going and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come and I'm going to bring you to be with me. And we know that He can do that. And we know that He can do that because He was nailed to a cross and He died on that cross and He was dead, dead, dead. And they put Him in a tomb and they sealed up that tomb, and 3 days later, He was alive. And the tomb was empty. Think about that. He proved that He has power over death. And He promised that He would use that power to give us everlasting life. And if we've got that going for us, how incredible to know that we are forever in the hands of the living God. We will never be forgotten. In 1 John, Chapter 3. says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We shall be like Him. And how is Jesus? Jesus is alive. We will be like Him. We will be alive. We don't have the answer, as John writes, you know, we don't know how we are going to be. We don't know the way that our bodies are going to look or what that's going to be, but we know this. We will be alive. We will be with Jesus, and we will be there forever. That's what the cross, that's what the empty tomb, that's what the resurrected Lord proves to us, that those things are true. That we who put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior can stand on those things, and those truths will endure to the end of time. Jesus is alive, and we can be with Him because of Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the gift that You give us of salvation, the promise of everlasting life. And Lord, I just pray that we would all rejoice in knowing that You are alive, and that Your life proves to us that we too will be a part of that. We thank You, Lord. We praise You, and we worship You. In the name of Jesus, amen.